right, let's get started with the Bible study. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 1, the Bible says, "And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease." Now the name of the 12 apostles are these, and you can read them. I'm not going to do it. Come on down, verse 5. "These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not in the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, preach, saying, The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick," look at what he tells them to do, "cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils, freely you receive and freely give. Provide yourselves gold," well, we wish we could get some people paying attention to that, "gold, nor silver, nor brass in your purses, nor scrip for your journey, two coats, neither shoes," and on and on. Now, I want you to come down a little bit. I'm going to start in verse 19. So these 12 disciples, by the way, what?
I just learned that was
it. It could be a girl over there, too. They sound just alive. 12 disciples, who is that connected to?
12 tribes of Israel.
The 12 tribes of Israel. 12 months, 12, 12, 12, 12, 12, 12, all connected with Israel. Now watch this. Verse 19. "But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what you shall speak. For it shall be given you in the same hour what you shall speak." Mm-hmm. Now think about it. They didn't have to read the Word of God. They didn't have to study. They didn't have to meditate on it. God was going to give them a spirit in which they would have in them the ability to know the Word of God. It would be written upon their hearts. They would know some things. And he said, be comforted. That spirit's going to be there. In fact, he calls it the comforter in John 14, which we're going to get to. But before we go there, I want you to go to 1 John. Go to 1 John 2, couple passages. First John 2, verse 20. These people, certainly part of the kingdom message. They've been there from the beginning. In fact, he says, 1 John, that was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes. That was Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Very important. Go to John 2 and read with me in verse 20. John 2, verse 20. "But you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things." That unction is the Holy Spirit. And as soon as they got that, they had knowledge of everything that the will of God was for them. I mean, they knew it. Now, they didn't know the mystery. They didn't understand. They didn't get it from that. They got everything they needed to know about the will of God and understanding the will of God. Go back to Hebrews for just a minute. Hold on to 1 John. We're going to turn right back. Go to Hebrews, and go to Hebrews chapter 7, I believe it is. No, it's Hebrews 8. Now notice very clearly the distinction here. In verse 10, for this is the covenant that I will make with the entire world.
No, with the house of Israel, not
this. You sure? You got so many
mine?
Glasses.
You want to read mine?
What version do you got?
What version do you... I mean, you can't tell by this thing.
Sir, there you go.
I will make with the house of Israel. You see that? "After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. And they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother. Why? Saying, know the Lord. For all shall know me, from the least to the greatest. Why? It's written on their hearts. The Holy Spirit put it in. They don't need to carry a King James Bible in this portion of the Bible. Go back to 1 John. You know what? I ask people all the time, do you have the Holy Spirit? And they say, oh, yes, sir, I've been baptized. Well, great. Okay. Then you know all things, don't you? You know? And I get them to look up Hezekiah 3a.
Yeah, I bet you.
And most of them just turning their pages and they have not a clue what's going on.
They ain't in the Word.
Well, yeah, but they wouldn't need to be in the Word. That's my whole point.
I don't know.
If they have, if they really have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, guys, guess what? They instantly known and said, hey, come on, are you kidding me? I'm saved. I got the Holy Ghost in me. I know all things. How many fingers am I holding up?
Come here.
One.
Three.
You know, they would know. You couldn't fool them. But more than that, even with just the little bit they got, they didn't need a teacher. That's why 1st and 2nd Peter, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John aren't long epistles. Paul wrote over half the New Testament, and there's a reason why. Let me tell you what. They had the Holy Spirit. They didn't need these things. It was written on their hearts. They knew exactly what to say, when to say it. They got the Holy Ghost. And they were eventually baptized with the Holy Ghost, but they got it even before then. Look in 1 John 2. Y'all turn back there. Mm-hmm. Verse 27. But the anointing which you have received of Him, talking about the Holy Spirit, abideth in you, and you need not that any man what?
Mm-hmm.
Now think about that. Why would a Pentecostal church or any church that believe this doctrine go and have teachers? What would be the point of me standing up here and teaching the Word of God if you know all things and you need not that any man teach you? You see the problem? The problem lies very deep in the fact that the passage, so everybody who says, I believe the whole Bible, they don't in fact believe the whole Bible. If they believe the whole Bible, they would realize they're lost. Why? They don't know all things. Do you all know all things? I'm guilty. I don't know all things.
Even Paul was being taught, even after he knew all things.
Yeah, and well, it's going to be remarkable, the difference here. But listen to me very, very, very carefully. In this point of the Bible, they didn't need us to have Bible classes. They didn't say, oh, let's go over to Roman's house and study today. You already know it. You might get together in fellowship. You might get together and have a great time. But you're not going to need, if you have the Spirit of God, you are not going to need someone like me standing up and teaching you. Now, I know that there has been a dispensational change. Not one time did God, in the kingdom message, not one time did He call a teacher to teach the kingdom church. That would have been disobedient to the Word of God. Why, He just said clearly, look at 1 John 2:27. The anointing which you have received of Him abideth in you, and you need not that any man teach you. See the colon? What does that mean? Something greater is coming on. So listen to what He says. But the same anointing teacheth you all things, and is truth, and is no lies, and even as it hath been taught you, you shall abide in Him. Now that's clear. You're not to have any teachers. Amen?
Amen?
But isn't that weird? Look in Ephesians chapter 4 as a comparison. You might want to write Ephesians chapter 4 in your Bible right there.
Who is the Word talking to at this point?
Israel.
Okay.
Yes, Israel.
Israel story.
Is that future tense or past tense?
Yes. Well, this is actually going to be in the kingdom.
Okay.
Yes. They get a little bit of that. Now I'm going to go back to show you that in Acts chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 4. Now, it would be weird God saying you don't need a man teacher. Amen?
Amen?
And then all of a sudden God sends you teachers. That would be a little confusing, wouldn't it? I mean, people go, I don't understand. Well, I don't know how to make it anything. He just said in 1 John 2, you don't need any man teach you. Amen?
Amen.
Well, look in Ephesians under Paul's. Now, over here, we're in this part now. All right? We're in grace.
Oh.
Okay, over here, second coming, 7 years of tribulation, 1,000-year millennial reign. You got it? First John's where? Over there. Okay. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. Ephesians 4, verse 11. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and
teachers.
Well, hang on. He just said we didn't need teachers. The Holy Spirit function in 1 John has to be different than the one in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. Why? He just called teachers. That's what I am. I'm a Bible teacher. But look back in 1 John. Look in 1 John 2.
Who did he... can I ask questions while you're talking?
Well, you can. Absolutely.
Who do you think he's talking to there?
The Ephesians? Gentiles?
Gentiles?
Yes, no doubt.
I kind of see him talking to Jews.
No, I can show you that it's Gentiles in just a minute.
Well, I can... Okay.
But it wouldn't matter. The Jews are included in the Ephesians. Philippians is really written to Jews, but it wouldn't matter at this point because during this dispensation of time, something changed. Whether it's Jew or Gentile, it doesn't matter. You all understand? During this period of time that has been almost 2,000 years, approximately, this period of time, there's either Jews or Gentiles, neither bond or free, neither male nor female.
Barry, there is one thing confusing there, though, is it says that he did it in connection with the ascension and the descension. And Christ was only operating under the messianic period when all that went on.
No, that's true too.
And so Paul didn't come on until Acts 9. I mean, I'm not disputing. I'm just saying it is sort of a conundrum a little bit.
What? I'm not understanding.
He said he ascended on high. What is it that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth?
Right.
And then he says he that descended is the same also that ascended, that he may fill all things. Well, when he first ascended, he was filling things to the messianic.
Yeah, but you don't have to worry about that. You've got time. Listen, let me tell you what. Time is ticking along. All that had happened already. He got the message of grace and the understanding thereof. And when you start to understand that at the first part of Paul's ministry, there are Jews and what? Gentiles and what?
Blessed.
Right.
At the end of the book of Acts, which that line represents, it's just the Gentiles, and any Jew that wants to has to become just like them.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't really matter, but when Paul came along, Paul didn't have it written down either.
That's true.
You know, so once it became written form, let me show you another verse. Let me show you another verse. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. The ones he's writing to in Ephesians, just for your information, verse 11. Wherefore remember that you being in time past, back in this first part of this ministry back here.
Gentiles
in the flesh, who are called the uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hand, that at that time, this time of where there were Jews and Gentiles are blessed only, that at that time you were without Christ. Why were they without Christ? Huh? Well, they could have turned around and blessed, couldn't they? But they chose not to. So what those Gentiles were there were idol-worshipping Gentiles who were outside the covenant based upon their hope. Now, let's not get too deep because there's a lot of babes in here. And I can lay that thing out. Huh?
Keep going.
You're okay with all this?
I've been a Christian for 35, 40 years.
Well, I'm not even that old, brother. That at that time you were without Christ being eight. Huh?
I lost my hair curved in bed. I'm 54. I'm not no young man, not an old man. I'm all right. Go ahead. Be all right. You're good.
No, I'm right. But that's, I appreciate the compliment. That at that time you were without Christ, being alien from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and with what? Without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Hallelujah.
Amen.
All right. So that's who the book of Ephesians is written to. All right. But go to... No. Give me a second here. Second Timothy is what I want. All the excitement got me excited. Second Timothy. So, you know, this is very clearly that the Holy Spirit isn't functioning the same way. Because they didn't have to take any thought. That the people that got the Holy Spirit got it all. They knew. It was written on their hearts. If that was true, then you wouldn't have to do this. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, read with me in verse 7.
1 Timothy.
2 Timothy. Did I say first?
Yeah.
Second time you said first.
Third time you said second.
You got it. Did you guys on the internet hear that? Well, these guys are against me tonight. They've had too much sleep or something.
He said second time.
I'm not sure. I mean, I thought I'd be as tired as Gina, but I'm not. You've had a rough day, haven't you?
I won't say it, won't say it, and that matters.
Well, you have too many pairs of glasses on. That's the problem. Verse 7, now watch this. Consider what I say, and the Lord will give the understanding. Those people in 1 John 2, verse 20, didn't have to consider anything.
That's true. They didn't need
something. Hello? Mm-hmm. That's kind of weird. Why do you... That's kind of strange. He gives it to one person and one group of people, and the other one tells you to go study. So what do? We drive 6.5 hours to get here to preach 2.5 hours.
So that we can study the Word.
And share it.
Yeah. This is a secret meeting. It's only being broadcast all over the world. You all understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. These people have to sit down and meditate and consider and think upon it. Andy, are you shaking your head no?
No, I'm trying to look and see two different places.
Do you have a fever?
No, my head's heavy.
Yeah. Do you need extra help?
Well, don't offer.
I called Lynn tonight. Well, he called me. Well, I called him, then he called me back. And he goes, I'm just beat up. I said, what are you doing, brother? He said, I'm sitting in a hot tub and having my shoulder massaged.
Wow.
Brother, you're suffering for Christ's sake. I'm like, Lynn, that's not funny. He said, I can't watch it tonight. I have a martini party to go to. Oh, that would be really good if some of those were watching.
Better not say that too loud.
Verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing. What happens if you don't study? You're not going to get it. Go back to 1 John. In fact, you ought to have 1 John written there and go back to 1 John again.
2 Timothy 7, what?
15.
2:15. 2:15.
Cardinal verse.
And you can write 1 John 2, verse 20. Look at it again. I want you to get it. The Holy Spirit has a different function. The Holy Spirit isn't teaching you. You know, if you want the Word of God, you want to get it in you, study.
Memorize.
If you don't do that, hey, I can't get it in you. There is no direct thermal transfers. Now, verse 20. 1 John 2, verse 20. But you have an unction from the Holy One and you know all things, do you?
No.
How many here could quote me 2 Samuel 3:1? They wouldn't even need to open the Bibles. Don't you understand that? It would have been there. And he made those promises back in Matthew to Israel. Go back to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. Now you guys got to understand that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is written to the 12 apostles, to the 12 tribes, and on and on. And so these people that are in this period of time need signs and wonders and all that, and thus the healings of Jesus in John 9 with the blind guy and, you know, on and on. I mean, you can just list them. Now, don't hurt the grace baby. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is where we're at in time. Look at this again. Verse 19. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak. It shall be given you in the same hour what you shall speak. Who's doing that? The Holy Spirit, guys. They're going to have the answers right there. All they have to do is wait. The Lord will drop it in their mind. They are just as much. It would be like demon possession, except the opposite. You all understand? They, in their mind, once they got this blessing, now, only the disciples, I believe, got it here, and they get a little bit along the way until they're finally baptized with the Holy Ghost in Acts chapter 2. But they're getting a little along the way. And you're going to see that increase just a little bit and a little bit to the point that they give the 12 apostles authority to remit sins. I mean, that's what kind of possession we're talking about. Look in John 20, and maybe 21.
Thank John or verse John. John very came. I just want to catch it first.
Why do you have to tell us?
John 20. I haven't heard a fundamental premillennial anything. When they get to this verse, they freak out.
John 20.
John 20, 23. Well, let me read up just a little bit. 21. Then said Jesus to them again, "Peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so I send you." And when they had said this, He breathed on them and said unto them, "Receive ye the what? And whosoever sins ye remit, they are what?" You got it? Man, tell me somebody has that kind of authority today. But you know why they had it? They had the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost wasn't going to lead them in a bad direction. Remember what it said? It will not lie. It can only tell the truth. 1 John 2:27. Remember we read it back there? And whosoever sins ye retain, they are what? I don't know anybody who thinks they have that authority today, but the 12 apostles did. Now, aren't you glad I don't have that?
Yeah.
But just for that, I would retain yours. You all understand how important this is? They had God, the Holy Ghost, in them. And if they would listen, it wouldn't ever lie to them. It will never tell you the truth or tell you falsehood. It will only tell you the truth. That today is the Word of God for us. The Word of God is never going to lie to you. It is part of the Trinity. But it's not the Holy Ghost. You know what the Word represents?
The Word is made by Jesus.
Jesus. Mm-hmm. Go to John chapter 1. Now this is fascinating to me. Is it fascinating to you? We don't get the Holy Ghost in us and teaches us. You know what? You have the Word. And if you'll put the Word in you, guess what? You'll grow.
Okay, I do have a question. On our Trinity lesson.
Yes.
Today about human Trinity versus, in other words, it's our three now. We were made up of the Holy Ghost.
No. Yeah, let me show you that again. That would be good.
Yes.
So, I don't know if you can get this. You may want to. I don't know. But let me show you. I'm just going to put God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and God the Father. That's the Trinity. Got it?
Yeah.
All right. Now, when we're born as a triunion being too. We have the flesh, the soul, and the spirit. That spirit is what's causing your heart to beat. It's the spirit of man. That baby has got this spirit. The moment it came out and breathed air into its lung, it had that spirit. When that baby dies, that spirit goes back to be with God. That person is had one thing enter into them that the first two sons didn't have. What was it? They were passed on sin. Okay, you got it? For redemption to happen, somewhere along your line of life. I don't know where it is. Somewhere along the line, some place. You trust the Lord Jesus Christ, and at that moment, the Holy Spirit makes you in accordance with this person right here. You're associated with Jesus Christ.
So what's his soul about?
Well, the soul is your eternal part of you. It looks just like you, except it doesn't have flesh and blood.
It's going to go somewhere.
Mind, will, and emotion.
It's going to go somewhere.
Huh?
Mind, will, and emotion.
It has to do with the five human senses of emotions. And there's five of the flesh, you know, feel, touch, thing. That's all the flesh. Then you have a soul. That's your emotions and your mind, your heart, and all that. But let me tell you, when you talk about renewing the mind in Romans chapter 12, that's a lot of what we're talking about. And so it's your obligation to get the book in you. It's not the Lord's. He isn't going to write it upon your heart. He wrote it upon these people's heart. But you have to consider.
You have to choose.
Well, you do have to choose. Where was I? 1 John. Let me go with this just a minute. I want you to see this. Maybe you'll see it as we go. No, regular John.
John.
Regular John.
Same
John. Not the one with the 1, 2, or 3. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. So this Word, the King James Bible, I believe is the Word of God. And when that Word comes in you, it changes your mind. Ready? Thus, repentance. You got it? I used to believe that God was going to put the good on one side and the bad on the other and weigh it out. I believed that my whole life.
And what's right in your spirit?
In my mind.
Okay.
And then a man came and preached to me the gospel, that Christ had died for our sins, I quit believing that. Used to believe that, changed my mind. Something entered into my mind that made me change and made me redo my thinking. You got it? And I trusted the Lord. Once you've done that, you have a function of the Holy Spirit that is going to... The Holy Spirit during this time seals us. But we are baptized into Christ.
Amen.
We become one with Him. Huh? Amen. Now watch this. Now, the Word in God. People always wondered about the King James Bible and all that. I believe it's the infallible Word of God. I believe it's a math equation. Word over here equals God. That's what that First John. You add or subtract subtract over here. You have to add and subtract over here. You got it? That's how it is. Well, for you to get the Word of God, God called teachers. For the church, the body of Christ. Okay? And that's what I do. My job is to make you see. In fact, it's really well described in Nehemiah. Look in Nehemiah. Yes, we don't use the whole Bible. And I'm well aware of that. If you can't find Nehemiah, look in the Concordance. It's right in front of Ezra. Gina, look at her flipping that new Bible. Man, it's exciting. Did you get a Bible pen out and score something yet?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Now, let me show you what my job is. Now, they didn't have the Holy Spirit back here, so guess what they had to do? They had to study, too. Well, there weren't a lot of Bibles, so guess where they showed up to study? Very good. And you know what the scribes' jobs were?
Read
and all those guys. And they were to make copies. Read and copy. Read and copy.
They didn't have printers either.
No. Verse 8. Nehemiah 8. 8. So they read in the book in the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. Guess what I'm trying to do? Cause it to understand the reading. Why? And Nehemiah, which is the threshold, and Ezra the priest, the scribe, and the Levites that taught the people, said unto all the people, this day is holy unto the Lord your God. Mourn not nor weep, for all the people wept. Why? They heard it. They heard it. They finally got it. Hey, I got it. I'm no longer in the dark. I'm walking in the light. You see the idea? That's what we're to do. Well, look back in John. Well, go to 1 John this time. I get this all the time. Say, well, when I start testing people whether they have the Holy Ghost, they go, you're tempting the Lord your God. Well, you know what God said? Try them. Check them out. You can tell if they're baloneyers. Right? Beloved, believe not every spirit. What did God say? 1. Do you not have ESP yet? Well, I would look it up. 1 John 4, verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits. Huh? What is the Lord telling you to do? Yeah, He said, believe not every spirit. Try them. Check them out to see if they're of God. You can test it. If they say they have the baptism of the Holy Ghost and they don't know all things, guess what?
They're liars.
They're liars. You got it? You say, well, that's a crude way of doing it. Doesn't matter. God told me to do it. God told me not to believe every spirit. There are spirits out there that are working that ain't His. And He knows it. And He says, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus is come in the flesh is of God, and on. So He laying this thing out. Go back to Mark 16. All dealing with the kingdom, not really dealing with us now, guys.
There are Jesuses out there that are not the right ones.
Oh, amen. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Counterfeit gospels.
Absolutely. And
counterfeit Jesus.
Absolutely. Listen, what I'm telling you is how you can test them. That's what rightly dividing really does. It allows us to understand what part is actually written to us. You know? And what the function of the Holy Spirit is right now. Yes?
Let's not forget when people have they say the Holy Spirit has been speaking to them and it's contrary to the Word, just like that says right there, believe not every spirit, but ask them if they believe it, confesses that Jesus came in flesh.
Okay.
That spirit that's contrary to it can't say yes.
Yeah.
It's the devil himself speaking to people, and he will come as an angel of light.
Absolutely.
And so what do? When you use that verse right there, and the further on, it teaches the same way. And that's also for, as the enemy tries to speak to you, it sounds so good, so kind, whoa, and it sounds so godly, but yet no way. And it's contrary to it, and it cannot admit that Jesus came in the flesh. And that is the spirit that is Antichrist.
Well, I'm going to, I'll try to keep going.
It's better, boy. I mean, it's so good. And so
amen. Where are you from? You sound like you're from Louisiana almost.
No, sir. I'm not Cajun. I'm not from Louisiana. I'm from Kansas City. And I don't know where I got the speech. All I know is I got it.
He sounded like a Cajun guy who said, ooh, I want to slap my mother-in-law. That guy.
Yeah, where I got it. I
thought maybe he'd been watching the food.
God knows where I got it.
Amen. Mark 16. Mark 16. Guys, listen to me. There's people going around professing all kinds of things. But if they have the Holy Ghost as it is given in 1 John, buddy, they know all things. And you know what? They won't go to a church that has a Sunday school. They would have already known it. Mark 16, still kingdom, Israel, 12 tribes. Look what he says. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel. What gospel? Gospel of the kingdom. Matthew 24, verse 14. You might want to write that in right there. To every creature. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. What happens if you're not baptized? You can't get saved. Listen, water baptism required right there. It is not an option.
You're saying you've got to be water baptized to get to heaven?
Right here. These people aren't going to heaven anyway.
The thief on the cross, he didn't have a chance.
Yeah, but listen, let me tell you what he just said. Look at the words. Watch the words. You tell me what it says. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Well, what happens if you don't believe or you're not baptized?
Well, he also says he that believeth with his heart, Jesus raised from the dead, shall be saved.
Well, but hang on. Listen, let me tell you, you're rightly dividing. You've got to rightly divide. I'm reading what's given to the 12 apostles.
Amen.
And I'm going to show you that they could lose their salvation. They didn't have it secure. They didn't have it anyway. In Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And by the way, just so that we make it clear, nobody in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John ever planned to go to heaven. Ever. They're going into a kingdom that's been promised to them. Alright. Here, water baptism is safe. And just to show you how they felt about it, go to 1 Peter. You know, 1 Peter wrote that. Was in that group there. Go to 1 Peter. Went right past it.
That's a lot of people. That's a
1 Peter. All right. Why are my pages sticking together? Hang on just a second. I can't get my pages apart. Yeah, I can't get to it, though. Oh, there, I got it. I broke it loose. All right. There we go. Look at this attitude here. Talking about water baptism. Verse 20. Which sometimes were disobedient when the long-suffering of God waited in the day of Noah while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, 8 souls were saved by what?
Water.
The like figure, whereunto even so baptism doth also now what?
Save us.
Now that's not true today, but it was true in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And it was true in 1 John, Hebrews through Revelation. You got it? I'm in. Very, very clear if you believe your Bible. Now, that's not true of you, but it's definitely true of them. Go back to Mark 16. Look at this. It did not say, listen to this very carefully, it did not say some of these signs. It said, in verse 17, Mark 16, verse 17, and these signs shall follow them that what? In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall what?
Not hurt.
Now, it did not say, if you drink a deadly thing, you might get sick and you'll recover. It said, if you drink any deadly thing, it shall what?
Not hurt.
At all.
The future tense, what are you talking about?
As soon as they got the Holy Ghost. And these signs shall follow them that believe. And they had signs. And you know who required a sign?
Jews.
Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Look at this. Yeah, it will take a little while to catch on to what I'm doing. But don't panic. Everything is exactly what it says in the Word of God. Whether I screw it up or not. Amen? It's right in the Bible. 1 John, 1 Corinthians. I've tried to go to 1 John twice now. 1 John.
1
Corinthians. Verse 22. For the Jews require a what? Go back to Mark 16. Verse 17. And these signs shall follow them that believe. Now watch this. It shall not hurt them. And in the last part, they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall what? You ever seen somebody sick that didn't recover? And they announced that, hey, I'm full of the Holy Ghost. I've got the power of God. I'm the minister of God. And they pray over those people. They lay hands on those people and they die. They didn't have it.
Is there any sickness in heaven, though?
No sickness in heaven.
Oh, okay.
This ain't talking about heaven, brother. Okay. They're talking about here on earth. Okay. And there's a reason why they're doing that. Because they're going to go through the tribulation period. And they're going to have some sick people and they ain't going to be able to get to doctors. You know why? If they get to the doctors, they're going to have to take the...
Mark of the beast.
Mark. What?
I'm just crying.
What? No, he's... I think he's okay. Are you okay with that?
Oh, yeah.
I just enjoy watching you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
He's tall, fella. Sounds like... Don Wayne, Elvis Presley, one of them.
How many baptisms is there?
How many do you think there are?
Three. One, you're baptized on the family of God. Number two, you're baptized in water.
Okay, let me tell you, I don't believe that, but I'll show you what I believe if you want to know what I believe on that.
That's fine.
I believe there's 12.
12. For one person?
No, it's not interpretation. You'll see them too if I show them to you.
For one person or different? That's
for different people.
That's for another night.
That's one.
Next week, I guess I'll be doing baptism. The Jews require a what? And so they're given those signs of who believes and who doesn't. You can tell. There's two people there and they're passing around deadly drinking. One goes, look, I've got the Holy Spirit. That's really good. Here, you want to take it? And that person ain't sure he's got it. Guess what he's going to do? Just pass that one on. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits. People say, well, you do that, you're tempting the Lord God. One Thursday night I was here, she was screaming, don't feed on the Clorox. If he's got the Holy Spirit, it ain't going to hurt him. Trust me. No, he'll die. Not if he's got this. It will not even hurt them. Let them drink it.
Is there a New Testament example where that ever happened?
Well, there's one of Ananias and not drinking a deadly thing, but
he tempted the Holy Spirit.
Well, I know that. I know Paul shook off the serpent off his fingers.
That's one example I can think of.
I can't think of anybody drinking poison as an example in Scripture.
I can't think of one either, actually. That's a good point. Doesn't matter, but they could.
I mean, it would have happened.
We got the rattlesnake handlers. They're doing that.
Yeah, but you know what? I saw that special on the rattlesnake handlers. Man, listen, let me tell you what. I know for a fact. Listen, Jimmy. Those arms swole up like this. Some of them made it. And they go, it's the Holy Ghost. It wouldn't even have hurt him. You didn't see Paul's arm swelling up and go, hey, what's the deal with your arm, Paul? It wouldn't have hurt him.
Yeah. Now, they are tempting the Lord there on that. The rattlesnake enemy.
No, they're just being foolish. They haven't studied their Bible. They wouldn't be doing it if they had. But guys, listen to me very, very carefully. This whole thing is very important. Why? Because there's people out there professing to know the Lord, knowing all this. In fact, look what he said to those in Matthew chapter 7. Go to Matthew 7. Take your pen, score these Bible verses.
Oh, yeah. If I know the scripture, I missed.
Matthew chapter 7. Look at his attitude toward all this. What are you doing?
I'm trying to get after it. Just
walk to it.
Well, it won't that way. They see you anyway.
You're going to knock over his thing.
Well, she did not do that. She didn't listen to you. She's not obedient to you.
I'm going to submit to your word.
When was the last time you beat her? Yesterday? No, don't tell me.
You're on TV.
Have you stopped beating your wife, Roman?
Matthew 7, where are you headed?
To no wins.
Oh, she's not wearing a covering. She ain't listening. That's the first thing that starts happening.
She still has to submit.
God in grace. You just do whatever you want, brother.
Still
all right, verse 21. Everybody there? Matthew 7, 21. Watch this. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And many shall say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Let me tell you what, the Lord's going to try the spirits He knows. And you know what? I can tell when someone's buffaloing by the Word of God. I can flat out tell it. It isn't like a guessing game. I'm sitting around wondering whether this person's saved. It's not what goes in a man that defiles him, it's what comes out. I listen to the words people say. Got it? Now, you guys don't have that. In fact, Paul, your apostle, had it at once. Look at his precarious situation in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians, I gotta go back. 2 Corinthians. What?
You said first and second.
No.
He said he wasn't.
Oh. And he's straightened that table out, brother. They are a little froggy tonight. I don't know what's up with them. Carrie, I'm depending on you over there, sweetheart. Are you keeping that place in line over there?
You got a lion on your side there.
All right, y'all in 2 Corinthians 12. Well, hang on, before I read this. I think I can read it, but I'd like to go get something out. We'll get Matthew in a minute. You're already here. As long as it took you to get there, it's ridiculous. Verse 6. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. For I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. Now, I don't know what a thorn in the flesh feels like, but it can't be good. I got it? Here's the thorn in the flesh. The messenger of Satan. How would you like the messenger of Satan right next to you all the time, poking you? That's what was happening. Always denouncing what he said and on and on. Lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. Well, why don't you just heal Paul? Take it away. Right? He said in John 14, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. He didn't do this. Where's the Holy Ghost? Why didn't he just zap himself? I mean, people start to get silly about the thing. Paul had an infirmity that was so bad that it must have been terrible. And he's sitting there seeking the Lord's will on it thrice. I mean, he's laying into it. And the Lord answers him back, my grace is sufficient for thee. I knew a guy, he's a brother in Christ, he's saved, and I got to meet him at a network marketing thing. He was a motivational speaker, and he wrote a book about walking across the United States, which he did with no legs. And he lifted up his butt, scoot, put his hand down, scoot, 4,823 miles. And the name of the book is One Step at a Time. And you know, he had all the buddies, you know, buddies. He started out in California, and it took him 3.5 months to walk across it on his butt. He got to the Arizona line, and his 15 buddies that were with him all quit. But he said, you can't quit, because quitters aren't any good. So that man drove his van up, took his wheelchair back, marked his spot, walked 2.5 miles. Took his van, went 2.5 miles until it took him four and a half, 5 years to go across the United States. And then when he ran the New York Marathon, because, you know, he wanted to complete the marathon before he died, and they all knocked him. It took him 4 days. And they were about to take down the finish line, and they started hearing, no, don't take down the finish line! Don't take down the finish line! There's someone else still in the race! So it was the guy without any legs. One guy said to the media, he said this. He said, That's such a joke. He knew he couldn't win. And when he got up there and heard that, he says, you know what, buddy? I may not have won this race, but I beat the other 285,000 Americans and never got in it. Mm. You got it? Listen, let me tell you what. He didn't grow some legs. He didn't go to some healer and have his legs strapped on. He went out and did it in the infirmities that he knew that he had. And you know how Paul served us? In those exact same infirmities. Fred believes since I've been sick, I've been preaching better. You know why? You start to realize it ain't diddly about you. When you start to think this life is about you, you've got the whole focus on the wrong thing.
Absolutely.
But Paul wanted bad gone. He wanted this infirmity gone. He prayed about it 3 times. And the Lord said, my grace is sufficient. You mean he healed all these people back here? Or the man that wrote half the New Testament went all over 3-time missionary journeys? He can't heal? He just lets them suffer? What kind of God is that? You know what it is? It's God of grace. This unique period of time is different than all the rest. Signs, miracles, wonders, everything the Holy Spirit's doing. But when you get to Paul, he doesn't have that authority. Look what he says. Verse 8, and this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. In verse 9 he says, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly therefore I would glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. You know, when bad things happen, instead of asking the Lord to heal you and take you out, maybe you ought to just say, praise the Lord. You know, I believe the Lord knows exactly what we need in our lives. Amen?
Amen.
Say, well, I don't like being gunshot. Brother, I bet you didn't. Did you beg for it? Did you say, Lord, shoot me?
No, but it was an answer to prayer. Other troopers in the hospital couldn't understand why my attitude was joyous while I was in the hospital.
But I know why.
Because it relieved a whole lot of other stress in my life.
But the Savior. I mean, come on, guys. To have the comfort of the Spirit. I was sitting there over my dead little boy's body. Listen to me. He'd laying dead on the road. Some guy had smushed our car. Going 100 miles an hour. Killed him. And while I laid over that young little boy's thing, in the lowest time and the darkest part of my walk, was the most peaceful. And you know what he said? Not a word. This verse came to mind. My grace is sufficient for thee. You know what Paul says? Most gladly, therefore, I will glory in my infirmities. So you know what I did over that dead body? If I'm going to glory, I shouted to the top of my lung the best I could, praise the Lord. People thought, man, he has gone off the deep end. No. Say, give glory. It's easy to give glory when everything's great happening in your life. Amen? But how about when all hell is breaking loose in your life? Paul couldn't do anything about it. Paul was stuck. Man, the man of God that had done it. Totally left him. And all I got is what he told Paul. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Paul says, most gladly, therefore, I'll glory in my infirmity. See, the Holy Spirit didn't come to his rescue. In fact, if you go to Timothy, go to 1 Timothy, they were laying hands on people. Look what he said here in verse 22. 1 Timothy 5:22. Y'all there? Lay hands suddenly on no man. Neither be partakers of other men's sins. Keep thyself pure. Drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thy often infirmities. Well, what happens if it's a big affirmity? Well, take the whole bottle then. You got it? Why didn't Paul heal Timothy? He couldn't. The Holy Spirit function wasn't there at that point. You know why? We walk by faith and not by what we see. Man, if I saw a miracle, it wouldn't impress me anymore. Paul's warning that Satan is coming after the working of Satan, the ministers. And look at what's fascinating about this. Go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Are y'all having a good time tonight? You guys did finally settle in. I'm starting to sweat, so you know it won't be long. Hope that watermelon is cool. Second Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 8. And then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall come in the spirit of his shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him who is coming after the working of Satan, with what? All power and signs and lying. You see that? How would we know? Well, in this dispensation, they don't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. These people, they have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Guess what these people got? The baptism of the Holy Ghost. Guess who doesn't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Us. This might blow your mind on baptism. And with all deceivableness of unrighteous in them that perish. These people are going to hell. Why? Because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause, because they rejected it, God shall send them a strong delusion that they should believe a what? God is going to send them a strong delusion, and they don't have to worry about being deceived by some falsehood. God's going to deceive them. Yes?
You think that's Gentiles during the tribulation?
Yes, but it would also include others as well.
Well, I'm just saying there's a lot of messianic ministries that are claiming great healings now.
Yeah, that's baloney.
That's what I think too.
It is baloney. You know why? We know. You can go up to him and test the spirits. He told us in 1 John 4 to do what?
Try the spirits.
You can test them. I mean, listen. First thing is tell them to go to Hezekiah 3:8. They start opening their Bible, they definitely don't have the Spirit. And it said, with your Bible closed, quote me 1 Samuel 3:1. They can't. They haven't got it like they said in 1 John. Y'all understand? So, I mean, you can test. I have this lady that swears she's got a healing ministry and she has a scar down her arm. She said she was in a bad car accident. And this was in Houston, Texas. I was the Kmart manager. I believe she was called to heal. She said, I've healed hundreds of people. They recovered. Well, I'm not doubting that. I'm just saying it's not of God. And I told her to turn to Hezekiah. And you know what she did? She flipped for 5 minutes. And I said, you know what you are? You're just somebody faking. She said, well, that's mean, Barry. You have a mean spirit. No, God told me to try them because I'm not sure who's who. So I tried them. Then we got in that conversation about that big, I mean, I'm talking Frankenstein. Dot, dot, line, all the way down her arm from here down to here. She said, God took the metal out of my arm. I said, show me. Well, I can't show you. Why did he leave the scar? She said, God left that. He told me specifically. I said he talked to you. Yes. Yes, he did. He left that specifically on me so I would remember it. That's pretty weird, isn't it?
I just grabbed a magnet.
You don't understand? I mean, I don't believe a thing this lady's saying. And not only that, he healed her of this car accident, of these rods in her arm, took the rods out, left the scar, and she was fatter than I was. I said, he didn't heal you of gluttony. She slammed her Bible and she said, I won't be insulted like that. And I said, well, you little fat liar.
I just did that.
That's what she was.
Yeah, she was.
Say, well, that was mean, Barry. Say it. Miss Gary, you would think I was mean if I did that. You know what? I proved her that she wasn't. Who said she was a faker. And you got to see, the reason why is I know that Satan forces are going around. Go to 2 Corinthians 11. This is good stuff. Can't get this at Sunday school, especially if you got the Holy Ghost. You have to teach yourself.
11:13.
If you want to start in 4, it's good too. I like 4 too. Well, we're going to start in verse 11. Watch this. Verse 13. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the what? They're acting like they can do the miracles of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Paul tells you these are false apostles, deceitful workers. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed in the angel of light. And therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. They're going to promote works instead of grace. They're going to preach the same doctrine of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John to the church, the body of Christ, which is a damnable doctrine. And you wonder why the battle on Facebook goes on? How many see read those things? And let me tell you what, they ought to be going on. You know what? One's promoting works for salvation. They're exactly the apostles of Christ. They're acting like they are the apostles of Christ. Well, look what it said. Verse 13, everybody read with me out loud. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves
into the apostles of Christ.
That's weird, isn't it? When you should be following who? Paul. That's weird, isn't it? That's amazing. The Holy Spirit isn't doing those things like He was doing in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Done? Yes. You got to speak up loud so they can hear you on the internet.
I got a question for you as far as, you know, all the signs and wonders and, you know, that can come from the devil.
Yes.
Is there anything that he doesn't have the power to do as far as, well, what I'm saying, can he, if say somebody dies, can he raise somebody from the dead?
Probably.
He can't read no mind, but only God can.
Probably. He has the same power. He got that in John. Go back to Matthew chapter 10. Let me show you. Matthew chapter 10. Notice in the list in Matthew chapter 10, verse 2. Matthew 10, verse 2. Everybody there? Now the names of the 12 apostles are these. First, Simon, who is called Peter, Andrew, his brother, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother. Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the publican, James the son of Alphaeus, Labius, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. Judas was there, right? Verse 8, he tells them, heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead. Could they raise the dead? Go to John 6. Go to John 6. Verse 70. And Jesus answered them, have I not chosen you 12, which included Judas Iscariot, and one of you is a what?
Devil.
That was Judas Iscariot. Did the devil now have that power? He gave it to him. And you know why? Because you ought to know the difference whether someone can do that or not. You ought to study your Bible. And you know what? You think I'm kidding you? I've been places where you would see things and you would think with your eyes. I mean, it's kind of this deal. You know what I mean? You guys pay attention very careful to me. See, that's a dollar. You got a dollar? Let me have a dollar from you. I'd rather have a dollar. I'm going to keep it. Just one day ahead of time. Got my gas money all the way back.
When did you get tenfold back? He owes you ten.
I got it out.
All right, here. And the things you think you're seeing aren't necessarily the way it is. And so I'm going to take this. Can you see that I'm ripping this? You see that I'm ripping that, right?
Right.
All right. You see that I'm ripping this? Can you see this on the thing? I'm ripping this. Can they see it? Am I close enough? All right. Anyway. So, and then you just rip the face completely out of this dollar.
I work for the federal government.
Well, we got a state copy.
Hey, they make them every day.
Okay.
You.
Yeah.
He put cyanide on it a while ago.
And you just spit it right back in.
I love that.
Huh? Thank you for the help.
Tricky, boy, you're tricky.
Huh?
You're tricky.
See, everything that you see, I watched a 7-foot tiger at Siegfried and Roy. He was right there. I was front row, disappear right in front of my eyes. You know what we call that? Baloney. You know what we call it? Very good baloney. It looked real. You got it, guys? I mean, so don't trust your eyes. Trust the Word of God. I know that He has the power. Go back to 2 Thessalonians. Holy Spirit. Keep thinking the Holy Spirit. Yes. Gina.
Why was it like such a great thing that Jesus rose from the dead? Like if Satan could.
Well, we wouldn't have been saved if He didn't raise from the dead.
I know, but I'm saying, like, cause people talk about how it's like, oh, it was like so great, you know, that he's able to rise from the dead, like He's conquered death. You know what I'm saying?
He did.
So why was it like such a outstanding thing that He rose from the dead if Satan can do something like that?
Well, He can raise people from the dead, but when Jesus rose from the dead,
that was like on His own.
To the authority of God.
Yeah.
Nobody was there.
Okay.
Nobody.
So, and also, Paul warns us of this kind of stuff. Go back to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Well, wouldn't that be a great deception in the dispensation of grace when we're not to go by our sight? All of a sudden, these sight things come in and everybody attaches onto the sight things. And they go, oh, that has to be of God. Well, it does not. Verse 9, even him who's coming after the working of Satan with all power. How much power?
All.
And how many signs? And
all
signs?
All.
And lying wonders. Go to Revelation 13. Go to Revelation 13. Look what Satan is going to use to deceive them that he is God. Verse 13. And he doth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwelleth on the earth by the means of those what?
Miracles.
When you know better. You got it? So you can't, listen, just because they carry a Bible, and that includes me, brother, you've got to know whether I'm rightly dividing or I'm not. You know what? There's some people out there that just can flat out deceive you, and the way you know is the Word of God. Go to Proverbs 30. I don't know where these verses are popping in my head. Well, I think it's Psalms, actually. Let me see. Yes, Proverbs 30. Yeah. Every word of God is what?
Pure.
He, personal pronoun, is a reference to who? The Word of God. And He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him, the Word of God. You got it? So you've got the Word of God. You want to know what your protection is? The Word of God. You want to know it? Quick, turn off the TV, set down the beers for a minute, and read the Bible. Amen?
Amen.
Study it.
What verse did you read?
In Proverbs 30, verse 5 and 6. Well, verse 5 is already read. Y'all got that? What are y'all laughing about? Am I speaking too much?
Just watch TV. sat down the beers and everybody looks at me. And
I waited 2 seconds.
Well, let me tell you guys, the Holy Spirit today, though, has a distinct function for you. Go to Ephesians. And we'll end with this. Well, I'm going to go to Ephesians chapter 1 if that's okay.
Yeah,
and when you're preaching this sermon, you can go to Ephesians chapter 4. I got asked a question on the internet. So will Judas be the Antichrist raised from the dead under the power of Satan? Possible. Possible. Love to wait and see. Huh?
Go ahead and finish. I'm going to ask you another question.
Go ahead, ask one.
Well, about that, it said every word of God is pure. Does this speak to the Bible version's question?
Yes. I did that Sunday. If you'd have tuned in Sunday, you'd have gotten the answer to that one. You can't miss a program, brother. If you miss it, you won't be asking these questions. Everybody else was thinking, we got the answer to that. See, these Karam, they think they're smarter than you now.
Well, I'll just bring that up.
Yeah. As general information to stir this stuff. Ephesians chapter 1. Y'all there? The first function of the Holy Spirit during this dispensation, during the time of grace, is to let you know that you are saved. And he says it best in verse 13 is fine. In whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest. You know what earnest money is, right? You lay a little money down on a car, you lay a little money on a bicycle, say, I'll come back and pay you the rest. That's proof that you're going to come get it.
Yep.
The Holy Spirit, verse 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. That is, it is a sealing of us. People say, well, can you lose your salvation? No. No. Ever. All right, Wayne Buller said, tell everybody to check out my Facebook page. Watch Wendy Bagwell and the rattlesnake story. That ought to be funny. I don't know what he's put up there, but if Wayne says it's probably okay, go watch it.
Oh, that's funny.
Listen about the fellowship. You don't even lose fellowship. The moment you trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the moment you have dropped all your pride, you know, I've heard stories of people hanging on. Roxy came back from Minnesota and said, I've been hanging on. I don't know why I hang on. I finally gave up. I let go. We hang on and hang on. But when we finally let go, we realize we can't do anything about our salvation anyway.
Yeah.
What He did is at the cross is not enough. You are going to go to hell. Period.
Amen.
And so He sends the Holy Spirit to seal you. And He does it all the way from the moment you trust Christ, whatever, one of these days you trusted Christ, and then all the way until, not when you die, but all the way to redemption. Look in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. I did not even get to John 14. So we may make another week of this. I don't know. We'll see what the conference inspires me to preach on. It may change completely. See ya. Thanks for making the effort and the stuff. I appreciate it. Ephesians 4. I flipped my pages and I turned. Verse 30. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. You got that? You're sealed. You can't lose it if you wanted to.
Praise the Lord.
You know why? It wasn't up to you in the first place. Jesus Christ did all the work. God the Father wrote the book. God the Son, God the Spirit, sealed you until that day. And you can't lose it. It's a done deal, guys.
Right.
And so, Ephesians, we got the sealing. I need to spend another day on the Holy Spirit because we really need to get into John 14 a little bit and all that. You know, so I'm going to stop here because I'm exhausted. We can ask me questions around the table if you want, but someone get me a piece of watermelon fast.
Can I address something?
You can address whatever you like.
That young lady asked about Jesus rising from the dead. It was very important because the Bible says the wages of sin is death. He became our wages in hell.
Yeah. Yeah,
so it was paid completely. That's why a Christian does not have to go to hell.
Absolutely.
He's done cleansed, and His blood was shed for the forgiveness as far as the east is from the west. He'll remember no more. So it's really important. That's how important it is.
No, yeah, she's got it. But even that, I would say Romans chapter 4, verse 24 and 25. Is what the difference is that Satan couldn't do.
Could I address one more thing?
You can address, yes.
All right, in Ephesians, where we was talking about 4:11, where it gets some prophets, apostles, and all. Well, I see he gave those to the Jews that were just came out of paradise, because he says up here before he gave them
men. No, but he says it other places like 2 Timothy, I would say.
Romans 12.
Romans 12.
But he's saying here for the perfecting of the saints, that's not the church.
That is the church.
Yeah, if you look at the end of
it's Israel.
No, the Ephesians are not Israel. I thought we had that discussion in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11 and 12. That at that time, look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11 and 12.
Ephesians 2:11-12.
Yeah, he's talking about Gentiles that are outside the covenant even.
It's just puzzling to me when he gave the gifts.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I talked to Les Field, and he agreed on me that with that. Yeah, but
I'm not Les Feldick. I can tell you that Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11 and 12 tells you that book is written to.
Because it says for the edifying of the body of Christ.
I mean, that's clear.
Yeah, the body of Christ is not Jews.
Anyway, that's right. They're neither Jew nor Gentile.
It's not the body of Christ.
But those are that's good. And I think if you'll come, I think I can prove that even further and further. I mean, the problem is, since we've tried to preach the Bible all in one day.
Well, nobody else says this.
And
it's just
nobody
stuck
around.
Huh? Nobody else teaches this. I just see it.
Yeah, that's good.
I just see that.
Well, then I think... Yeah, just praise the Lord for all of us. All right, I'm going to take a break.